Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome back in. Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5, the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are we doing?
Oh, mucho gusto, fellas. How are you?
Very good as well. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. And Corey, we've kind of thrown this around all morning long. It wasn't overly pretty for the Titans, but they get it done again. They win their third consecutive game, and they've dug themselves out of an 0-2 hole. What do the last 3 weeks kind of show you about this team? They still don't look great, but they've won three in a row, and they're in first place in the AFC South. What do you take away from all this in this start if you're a Titans fan?
Well, I think it's a lot like last year. You know, once again, you see that Mike Vrabel and his staff can scrape together what they've got and put together something to win a football game. I mean, when you saw Nate Davis was out against that front, you knew it was a problem. I mean, you really did. And all the guys they're missing on defense, I mean, it was a problem, and it was. But they still managed to put something together to scrape out a win. I thought they had players step up. They needed to, you know, Tannehill to make a play. He made a play. I thought Derrick Henry, you know, really kind of set the tone for the team. I think he was trying to will them forward. And I just, you know, we throw the word culture around a lot, but I think there's a culture there that they expect to win no matter what. And you see that. And I know they played Washington, and everybody can say, well, they're terrible. I mean, it's the NFL. They've got players just like about everybody else does. And so winning is hard, like they say. I know that sounds very cliche, but that was a tough one to win yesterday for a number of reasons, and I just give them a lot of credit for it.
No, I agree. I mean, and it's the NFL is always important. I mean, that applies. Well, that applies to everyone other than the Detroit Lions, but it's very true. And I'm with you, Corey. I think that's a great way to put it. This coaching staff scrapes together ways to, you know, to try to win some of these games. The close games record is pretty impressive under Mike Vrabel.
26-11.
Is that what it is? Yeah, 26 right? Or 23-11, 26, whatever it is. It's very good.
Yeah.
And it was a huge part of last year's success, which is why some people looked at this team, right, and said, okay, you expect some regression. But it's not like they win all the close games. They lost some close games of bad teams last year. But that success over time, what do you think that says? Are we talking about Vrabel and what he's done? Are we talking about some of the players on this team being really tough, gritty guys, or some combination?
Well, I think it's got to be a combination. I think, you know, things always start at the top, right? So I always started with Amy Adams Strunk. Not saying she's tough and gritty or whatever, but she's put everything in place. She hired John Robinson. They hired Mike Vrabel. They brought in the players. The players take ownership of the football team. So it obviously does, you know, filter on down. But like I've said, you know, Vrabel and that staff have instilled in this group a belief that they will win. They're knocking on the door on the 2-yard line. You know, Amani Hooker's out, Bud Dupree is out, Harold Landry is out, Zach Cunningham is out. You know, out. And there's no wilt. I mean, I'm sitting there watching the game, and I'm like, I don't know how, but I expect them to win this game. I mean, part of it's them, part of it's Carson Wentz on the other side of the field, but I expect someone to make a play. And they did. I mean, it's David Long Jr. making a play. I mean, look at this football team and look at the guys who made the key plays to to win the game yesterday. David Long Jr. and Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. I mean, that's kind of this team. You know, yeah, as I said, Derrick Henry was really good. Simmons and Autry were really good all throughout the games. But, you know, they had guys step up who aren't star players that, you know, put you over the top. And so, you know, the players keep playing. But what's the old saying, Joe? Players take on the identity of the coach. And, you know, we saw the identity of the team when Ken Whisenhunt was here. And we see the identity of the team now under Mike Vrabel. And that is, I mean, they fight to the very last second. I mean, you know, they're like Rasputin the Mad Monk. You know, if you think they're dead, you got another story coming.
Well, and as Vrabel puts it, defending every blade of grass. Corey Curtis here with us from News 2 here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, you know, Corey, the stat line, not going to blow anybody away. Tannehill was 15 to 25, 181 yards and a touchdown. I mean, he was under siege the whole day yesterday. I thought a lot of toughness displayed from number 17 yesterday.
Well, yeah, and he had to know coming in what he was up against. I mean, Montez Sweat, Darren Payne, Jonathan Allen in that group, you knew it was going to be tough. And apparently, you know, it became evident early, I think the very first snap, that that Dennis Daly was really no match for Sweat. And so it was going to be a tough day. And I thought, you know, largely he did a nice job handling it. I think he could have slid up in the pocket a little bit better a few times, feeling the pressure from the backside. But like you said, when you're under siege like that all day long, and when it comes right in your face, that becomes impossible to do. But he didn't turn the football over. And in a game like that, that's really the most important thing, is not turning the football over. You know, you talk about a game like that where mistakes get you beat. The Titans, you know, they had mistakes. They had negative plays on first down that, you know, that killed drives. But they didn't give the football away. You know, they didn't have bad snaps, you know, that took them out of things. I think, were they in field goal range when he took that one sack?
It was close.
I don't know if Vrabel would have gone for it or punted it there. I thought that was a bad sack. I mean, because he lost like 18
yards. That was a bad one.
Yeah. So like I said, you know, largely he did in a very, very tough scenario. But like I said, they needed a play. I mean, they needed something. They were down 17-14, and I think they had second and eight, and he hit Westbrook-Ikhina for 62 yards. And once they kind of made that play, you kind of felt like, okay, I mean, you know, they're going to find a way today. They're going to answer. They're going to get it done. I mean, they even got it done after the delay of game on third and two, which was inexplicable. But they found a way.
So, Corey, so many guys missing, as you've pointed out, defensively. How good do you think, and this defense is, for the most part, you know, it's playing well. You're giving up some big plays, but that's also a big play team. How good do you think this defense can be if and when they get a, you know, especially their pass rushers back and maybe some more help in the secondary? And then also, what's your confidence level that ever happens?
Well, I think it can be really good because right now, Jeff Simmons and Denico Autry are just a wrecking ball inside. I mean, those guys are really playing at a really high level, and you know they are blowing things up. I mean, Andrew Norwell was one of the best guards in the league for a while, and Jeffrey Simmons treated him like a rag doll yesterday. I mean, absolutely embarrassed him for four quarters. Those guys are playing absolutely, and they are the linchpin to the whole thing. So almost regardless what else you put around them, those two guys, you know, it's like a bowling ball hitting the pocket, all right? They're like the bowling ball hitting the pocket every time, and everybody else around them, you know, kind of responds to it. Now, if you have better players, you know, around there, you're going to get even more pin action, okay? And we saw last year when Bud Dupree came into fold how much better they were up front. And so, you know, I do think that can get better. And I do think if you get a healthy Elijah Molden out there to help you cover, maybe you're not giving up 75-yard touchdowns anymore. Because that's the problem. I mean, right? We've seen, you know, Caleb Farley just get beat deep. I don't know when we'll see him really again because – he's going to have some trust issues, I'm sure, to overcome, you know, with them to put him back out on the field. But they need something to work out there where they can put three. I mean, I think it's very easy to feel good about McCreary and Farley right now. I think largely those guys have played really well. I mean, you look at, you know, Fulton again yesterday against Terry McLaurin, who's a really good football player, largely kept him in check. You know, again, making other guys beat you. I don't know if you guys had heard of De'Ami Brown. I freely admit I had not. And, you know, that one-handed 30-yarder was a great catch.
Yeah.
So I don't have a whole lot of problem with Roger McCreary on that coverage, because that's a great throw and great catch. And sometimes that happens because, like I said, it's the NFL. But, you know, you sprinkle in, you know, a Bud Dupree and get Amani Hooker back and Elijah Molden, and I do think you can be, you know, a whole nother level better with this defense. I think the middle linebackers that have filled in for Zach Cunningham have been fine. I mean, I think those guys have tackled well. I think they've been aggressive. I think they've hit hard. And I think they've looked like they made Zach Cunningham look like a $10 million expense that they didn't really need. I'm sure I don't see things that the team does, but I think those guys have done a good job.
Corey, last thing for you here. You brought up Caleb Farley, and I talked about this earlier in the show. I'm getting pretty close to giving up. I mean, I'm sure you can look around the league, and you could find examples of corners that have taken a while to get things figured out. But at some point, like in that position, you can play or you can't, and it looks like he can't play. Am I being too harsh on Caleb Farley?
Well, I mean, that's what he's shown you so far, right? So, yeah. And it's unfortunate. And, you know, we've talked about how little of the position he's played. And that's what, that, you know, it's not like he played it for 3-4 years in college and played it in high school. And, you know, and you're like, well, this is what he's always done. And so that's what always kind of puts it in flux, is like how much of it is inexperience and how much of it is athleticism. But, you know, like Dylan Radins, you get to a point where you just say, well, can he do it or not? And so then you start looking and you say, well, he has the athletic ability and the length that, you know, you liked him, you know, as a top 10 player, and you got him at the back end of the first round. And so that's why you swipe him. How else can you utilize him to help you? And so I start to wonder, is he a safety? You know, do you put 5 or 10 more pounds on him, and is he a safety in the National Football League? Because maybe he is. Maybe he's just out of position right now. I mean, because there have been guys who have moved corner to safety and gone on to have successful NFL careers. And I'm not saying that's what's next for him. I have no idea. I'm just trying to find a way to get use out of a guy that you think has a lot of ability but is not able to show it in the position he plays. And so I really wonder, you know, when next season starts, what they do with him. You know, if they give him one more shot at corner, or if they decide to move him, or if it's just the end of the line. I mean, I don't know, but right now it's hard to see. And you know, everybody gets beat. We know
sure.
That everybody gets beat, but he has gotten beat virtually weekly. And there's a difference between getting beat and getting beat deep. And he's getting beat deep. You take away a 75-yard touchdown in this game, and the Titans pretty much completely dominated the whole way defensively. And it's not that close of a football game. And you know, it was one of my big keys going in, was no big plays, because you didn't think Washington could do it. You didn't think they could go up and down the field against you, and they couldn't. So, you know, one of the big things that you couldn't give up, you gave up, and that made it a game.
Yep, no question about it. 615-737-1025, your thoughts on the Titans all show long. Corey Curtis, appreciate you as always for joining us today here on the program, and we'll talk to you next week at 8 o'clock.
All right, let's bask in the glory of a perfect weekend with the Lions, Bears, and Packers all going down to defeat.
It was just beautiful. I don't even want to get started on Matt LaFleur today. Just beautiful.
It's a perfect little Sunday.
Yeah.
It was, you know, after breakfast, nothing else could happen in my day to ruin it.
I'm sure.
Absolutely fantastic.
I'm sure that it was. Thank you, Corey. Appreciate you. Nice shot on the way
out. Bye.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rexha. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. More on their win against the Commanders next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Make sure you check out the Eddie George Show featuring Jonathan Hutton on 1025-1063 The Game tonight at 6 o'clock live from 6th and Peabody. The Eddie George Show is brought to you by Low T Centers and Xander Insurance. Xander gives you more options. More options mean more savings for you. Get your free quote at XanderInsurance.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. The Titans get it done yesterday. They win 21-17. Huge play at the end of the game by David Long Jr. He intercepts Carson Wentz. An otherwise pretty good day for Carson Wentz. A nice death pick at the end, as he's been known to do throughout the course of his career. And the Titans walk away from FedEx Field with a 21-17 win. They've won three games in a row, and they are now in sole possession of first place in the AFC South. Joe Rexroad, what did you make of the game yesterday for the Titans? The win on the road, their third consecutive in a row. It wasn't always pretty, but they found a way to get it done heading into the bye week.
Yeah, look, it's I think Corey put it well. You're cobbling together whatever you can do. You got wins. And look, that's for the most part, that's just what it is in this league. That's the thing going in. I didn't even look at it really like one of these. Oh, the Titans are going to look, you know, they're going to play down to a team. They're not very good right now, especially with the injuries. This is you take Nate Davis out of that lineup, as we found out shortly before the game. And then also Ugo Amadi, which was weird to me, and I don't totally understand why Ugo Amadi wasn't active if he was off the injury report, because I probably would have tried him again. But you look at their lineup going to that game, toss-up game. And that's what it was. And Washington has plenty of deficiencies. They do have receivers and they have defensive linemen, and both of those things hurt the Titans a ton. But they've got grit, they've got culture, whatever word you want to use. And just that's a, you know, the winning play is a prepared defense, smart player play, where David Long Jr. diagnosed from the snap where Carson Wentz was going, took on the pick attempt from McLaurin, got there, made the play. I don't think he was going to get in anyway, because Fulton was on it too, and I think he was going to keep him out. There's no way they would have gotten another snap off. That would have been the end of the game. So that's just, hey, that's a defense that's prepared, that makes a play at the absolute biggest moment. Tons not to like from that game, but when you're as banged up as this team is, take every W you can get. You're in first place.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, some of it was, you know, on Friday when Vrabel ruled guys out. I mean, when Bud Dupree's getting ruled out and Zach Cunningham and Amani Hooker's getting ruled out, you already know that you may be in for one anyway. And then when the inactive list comes out yesterday and Ugo Amadi's not in there, Nate Davis isn't in there. I mean, Ola Danny was ruled out the other day as well. I mean, that's a pretty deep injury list that you've got, or inactive list there. That can cause some problems for you. And look, it did cause problems for the Titans. Their offensive line trying to protect Ryan Tannehill yesterday was awful. I mean, they gave up 5 sacks. They were credited with 13 quarterback hits, which is just an absurdly high number. Honestly, Joe, I think it may have been more than that. It looked like he got hit. I thought, you know, he was getting hit every time he dropped back to pass, essentially, yesterday. So it wasn't perfect, but like you said, you know, big play by David Long Jr. at the end of the game. I think maybe more people around the NFL learned his name and who he is yesterday, so that's always encouraging to see. But I thought Danico Autry was outstanding yesterday. I thought Jeffrey Simmons was – I thought that was probably the best game of Jeffrey Simmons' season thus far, and he's played really well. But I thought he was totally dominant yesterday. And I would add Tyre Tarte in there. I thought Tyre Tarte was really, really good. I mean, those three – completely dominated that game yesterday for the Titans.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, Corey brought up a point that I thought was also important. You could tell at different moments, on one really good Derrick Henry run, on one big Jeffrey Simmons play. Both those guys seem to be trying to bring, you know, a little more energy out of their teammates. You know, they were leading by, like, come on, like, get it going. I mean, there were some stretches of just bad football. yesterday, and you know, you're giving up big plays and not being able to protect your quarterback, that can make for a really long and hard to watch day. But I thought both of those guys, with some of the plays they made and then the emotion they brought, you know, seemed to be helpful for the Titans. And that's, you know, that's also the value of leadership. But you're right, the best part of this team right now is absolutely right there in the interior, what they're doing to the interior. So you can't allow yourself to think, okay, now take that and how Tart has improved and how Autry's still crushing people and how Simmons is one of the, you know, best defensive linemen in the league, and then add Dupree and Landry to that.
Yeah.
What would it look like? It would be ridiculous. We're never going to see it this year, but Dupree, Adeney, along with Weaver and everything, and I still think there's a high ceiling there for a defense to keep this team in most games that are left on the schedule.
What'd you think of Derrick Henry yesterday? 28 carries, 102 yards, 2 touchdowns for Derrick Henry. You know, his yards per carry average isn't going to blow anybody away at 3.6, but also, again, making some big plays in the passing game, 2 catches for 30 yards yesterday on 2 targets. Overall, what'd you think of Derrick Henry?
I thought it was a third straight game of Derrick Henry looking more like the Derrick Henry Titans fans were hoping to see this year. And there were it's another case of the – although they did score a touchdown in the second half, kudos to them. But it was another case, I thought, of a defense doing a better job, way better job on the Titans on the run game than they had in the first half, which is weird.
Yeah.
Usually it does go the other way. And the Titans, or, you know, in past years, that fourth quarter in particular, Titans are holding the lead or they're in a close game. Like, they're going to run the ball. It didn't happen yesterday for whatever reason. I'm sure there are a million reasons when the coaches go through the film, but it didn't happen to that extent. So that's concerning that they're going backward with the run game, but they still got a lot of good. I mean, the late first half run game was really effective and really important in this game. And like you said, Derrick Henry, I keep going there. I keep trying that throwback screen. Tannehill had to sneak it through some people, and Henry had to make a pretty tough catch. Keep giving him the ball any way you can get him the ball.
615-737-1025. The Titans win 21-17 yesterday on the road, their third consecutive win. We'll take your thoughts on our phone and text lines at 615-737-1025. More on the Titans win coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on the Titans on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll open up our phone lines. If you got thoughts on the Titans, give us a call at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, a game yesterday defensively where you give up 342 yards through the air. Carson Wentz with 359 yards passing. You throw in the sack numbers in there, and it's 342 yards total. 2 touchdowns, 1 pick for Carson Wentz. Obviously, very important interception for Carson Wentz and the Washington Commanders yesterday. But some big plays mixed in there. We'll talk about Caleb Farley specifically here in just a few minutes, but the 75-yard touchdown to Diami Brown there, and then also I thought a great play, great pass, great catch from Wentz to Brown again on the second touchdown of the game from the Washington Commanders. And Roger McCreary, I thought, was right there in coverage, but perfect pass, perfect catch on that play, but still some big numbers. I mean, Terry McLaurin with 5 catches for 76, Curtis Samuel 6 catches for 62 yesterday. But also some big-time plays by this Titans defense when it mattered the most. A huge sack from Denico Autry in the second half. Jeffrey Simmons with a sack and a half yesterday. And obviously the interception by David Long Jr. And I rolled through these numbers earlier, Joe. You're talking about 22 points allowed by the Titans against the Raiders, 17 against the Colts, and now 17 against the Commanders as well. Now, I fully recognize that, especially in the case of the Colts and Commanders, not been great offenses thus far this year in the NFL. But while the Titans are giving up yards, they're not giving up a ton of points. Overall, where do you think their defense is right now, especially given the injury situation on that side of the ball?
Well, it's I just think the problem with getting too excited about it, because I think it could be really good, is that I'm less and less inclined to believe they're ever going to be healthy. If they are, then boy, I think they could be really good, and you got to be impressed with a lot of what they're doing. I do feel like the fill-in linebackers and how they've played lately do kind of make you scratch your head a little bit about Zach Cunningham. Like, how much more does he bring? Now, I think he needs to bring more. I think he's better. They're paid a lot for him to be in there. Can he give them a little bit more juice there? Because if not, I mean, they've got some fill-ins there. The problem is the secondary. And, you know, we've talked about, obviously, Farley. We'll talk more about Farley. And on the other big shot, McCreary, I mean, I thought that coverage was about as good as you can cover someone. The ball was thrown as well as a ball can be thrown. Sometimes you just get beat by an incredible throw and one-handed catch. You know, the other corner who's been playing really well, I thought Fulton had some moments yesterday that were not great. And especially, I just don't understand how you think you're going to be able to two-arm smash into someone 20 yards downfield and not get called for PI in that situation.
It wasn't good.
I mean, being handsy is one thing, and you got to know how far you can go and see if you can get away from it and know the crew and all that stuff and be crafty. That was just like, here, let me just play bump coverage like we're at the line, except we're at the end zone. Like,
that could have been the game-changing play.
No, that's the game-losing, you know, play and decision if the Titans defense doesn't hold up. But I think if they get Bud Dupree back, if they get Oladaney back, and if they can shore up corner, whether that be – I mean, I don't know Elijah Molden's long-term prognosis. I would like to see this defense with him in there. I think that'd be interesting. And Ugo Amadi, after last week, to me, I would be, as things are constructed for the Colts game, I would be fully invested if I was Shane Bowen in McCreary, Fulton on the outside, and Amadi trying him in the slot, and then have Mitchell and Farley at the ready, but on the sideline preferably.
Yeah, I mean, I was – that's the one that's pretty surprising. I mean, obviously, you know, the Nate Davis situation, you looked at and you thought, oh, boy, Titans could be in trouble if Nate Davis couldn't go. But Amadi, I mean, he was off the injury report by the end of the week, and for him to be inactive I thought was pretty strange given, number one, I think he's played pretty decent when he's been in there, but number two, like the state of the rest of that corner room at the moment, like – it's pretty clear they don't want to put Caleb Farley out there, and then they put him out there yesterday, and he gets absolutely torched. Like, the Amadi thing is weird. It almost makes me wonder if there's something going on that we don't know, and I'm interested to see, like, if, you know, the next time Vrabel talks, if he's asked about that. I'm sure he'll be very forthcoming.
Yeah. Well, that read to me like – because Caleb Farley was questionable. It was a game time.
Yeah.
It read to me like – once they realized he was okay with the knee to go, then Amadi became a healthy scratch. A decision I would disagree with. I know it's especially easy to disagree with now after the way Farley played, but I don't think you can trust him at this point. So, you know, with Farley, there has been, and there will be a whole lot of position change talk. I just don't understand we've talked about it early in the show. If you don't have the feel for the game that some people do, and that's just, I know that's intangible and that's sort of vague, but I think that's really what it comes down to more than anything with him. I struggle to see how you're going to be an effective safety in the NFL.
Well, I said this earlier, and, you know, some people are going to say, well, Robbie, he's in his second year. How could you possibly say something like this right now? I'm pretty close to giving up on Caleb Farley. I just am. Like, find me many examples around the NFL of corners in their second year. And I realize his first year got cut short due to injury. And there's some different circumstances with him. But find me the corners around the league that this deep into their career in their second year are still struggling the way that Caleb Farley is struggling right now in terms of getting beat deep. Just doesn't happen very often. Think about Roger McCreary. He comes in and from the jump is ready to go. He can play inside. He can play outside. And I realize not everybody can even do that. But outside corner, he can play it. Caleb Farley, athletically, should be able to play outside corner at the NFL level. And for whatever reason, whether it's his athleticism or it's a combination of that and maybe just not having the feel for it like you're talking about, I mean, it's been brutal thus far from Caleb Farley. And he continues to get beat deep, and that's a problem. Like, is that all of a sudden just going to magically get better? Maybe, but evidence in the NFL tells me that typically that doesn't happen. Like, typically it's just not all of a sudden by, like, hey, year three or four, a cornerback just figures it out. You can find examples, and it has happened. So I don't expect the Titans to give up on him right now, but I'm pretty close to it, man. Like, I'm just starting to think that maybe he just can't play at the cornerback position.
Yeah, what teams are doing with him is, you know, they're, I mean, everybody watches film. Everybody can, and a huge part of it is, okay, what's the weak spot on that defense or that offense or that offensive line or whatever? How can we get a matchup that gives us an advantage? And what teams are doing is like what the Colts did. It's like you have a couple, you know, quick plays to pierce against Farley. He's all aggressive and flying in, and then boom, take him downfield. I mean, yesterday on that TD, he's just guessing. And that's what it looks like. It wasn't even a double. Like, he's just guessing and trying not to give up the short throw, and it's just over. And you just – obviously, there's no way that's what he's coached, and he just seems to be a guy who can understand things, can practice well, can, again, I think for the most part, look good in camp, and then some people are take it to another level on game day, and some people go the other way, and right now that's what he is. So I'm with you. I mean, I think it's – they're definitely going to – keep trying to develop him, and there's plenty of information to say maybe the timeline here should be a little bit different than your typical rookie. But he may be just not suited to play corner. Honestly, if we're going to talk position changes for Caleb Farley, he played receiver at Virginia Tech. I mean, that might actually be and shoot, this team could – I mean, hey, let's get crazy. But yeah, I almost said bye week. Idle week, you know.
Freudian slip.
Switch. Yeah, exactly. Throw Farley out there and send him on a go route and see how things go. He can run. He's big. He's physical. He can win battles for the football. I don't know about his hands especially, but, I mean, stuff like that may actually be a consideration at some point down the road. Not now, but down the road.
Well, I mean, I don't know what you do with him right now because it's pretty clear to me, like, you can't trust him to be on the field. So if you can't trust him to be on the field right now, like, he's been out there – I mean, I guess out of necessity, but like you said, Amadi was there and presumably available for him yesterday, and they chose to go a different route. So, you know, Corey Curtis just said earlier this hour about, you know, how it may be getting close to the time where we've seen the last of Caleb Farley, depending on what the health situation looks like this season at cornerback. And I don't know, like, to me, the heaviest thing that I'm rooting for right now, if I'm a Titans fan, you know, maybe outside of Bud Dupree coming back and being healthy, would be for Molden to get back out there and to just see what it looks like with Fulton, Molden in the middle, and McCreary on the outside. Because right now, if it's not going to be that, they just have a major weak spot on that other corner if Molden's not available. And I don't know what you do to fix that at this point.
Yeah, someone on the text line saying, Buster Screen retirement, biting the Titans in the butt. Whoever thought they'd say that.
Yeah.
He'd be playing, though. I mean,
he would be.
Yeah, he'd be fine. He'd be more reliable than what they've been getting, you know, from Farley. So I didn't realize this too. Looking at the snap counts, Farley only played 9 snaps yesterday.
Well, he didn't play after he got beat deep. That was it until like late in the fourth quarter when he had to be out there.
Right. I guess I didn't realize it was that low. I thought maybe he would have had like, I don't know, somewhere in the teens, but 9 snaps. Did a lot of damage in those 9 snaps. So
yeah,
it's not good right now.
It is not looking good. We'll take your thoughts on Caleb Farley and the Titans secondary at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll also have some Preds tickets to give away coming up next as well. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. We'll have Max Herz coming up at 9 o'clock. Talk a big weekend sweep in Prague for the Nashville Predators. Speaking of the Predators, I got some tickets to give away to see the Preds take on the Dallas Stars coming up in their home opener this Thursday night at Bridgestone Arena. We've got a trivia question for you today on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Make sure you text it in at 615-737-1025. I said over the weekend in Call Your Shot Friday that Tanner Jeannot would commit the first penalty for the Predators on the season. He did not. Who did? Who had the first penalty for the Predators this season? If you know the answer, hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line and welcome in Doug from Nashville, who wants to weigh in on Caleb Farley and the Titans. Doug, thanks for calling in.
Hey, thanks, guys, for doing such a good job. I try not to comment too much because I haven't been to a game, so unless I can see a full view of a defensive back's work, the camera shots and the clips don't give him a lot of justice. But a couple of times that I see Farley and I say in trouble, he stays in pedal too long. Every time he gets beat, I mean, you got to know when to open your hips and turn and stay with the guy. And that's a mechanic that he should know that way before now. This is not a high draft choice kind of stuff that we should be dealing with. So did somebody not do their homework on him, but we're not teaching him? But every time he's out there on an island, and if he knows that he's got to stay with this dude, you got to turn. And when you're in pedal, you cannot run. This is a mechanic. You cannot run backwards as fast as a man can forward. Fair to say?
Oh, yeah. Beyond fair to say.
Okay. He stays in pedal too long. And when you see him out there as an opposing offense, you got to know. Sick him because he's bait.
Hey, thanks for the call, Doug. I mean, Joe, you know, that's an interesting theory that Doug throws out there. And I will say, like, it kind of does line up with just my thoughts on the situation anyway, because like, it's not like Caleb Farley can't run. Like, no. We've seen him run. So the question then becomes, well, why in the world are you getting beat deep all the time? Like, what's going on that you're just getting absolutely torched left and right? And, you know, that's an interesting theory Doug throws out there.
Well, and I think he's absolutely right on that TD. And again, I think that's him guessing. I think that's him anticipating something else. And you just can't do it. I mean, when it comes down to it, if there's one thing you don't do, you don't just get beat deep like that. Now, if you give up a 12 yard on an out pattern, okay, and you're a little bit late, and you got to come up and make a tackle. Well, okay, it's a first down, but it doesn't kill your team. And I think, you know, as far as like technique and teaching the position and everything, this is, again, one of those situations where I saw Caleb Farley pretty much work with the ones all of camp at corner, and he knows what you're supposed to do. But on game days, it's eluding him. He's forgetting. And that's the thing. At some point, and it doesn't take long in this league, that happens enough, and it's just like, okay, he's basically the opposite of a gamer right now. So you can't trust that.
I got a texter on the text line that says, shouldn't we move Farley to backup safety before we actually move away from him? Wasting another first-round pick. He definitely has the size you like to have. Got a similar comments from Terrence on YouTube that says, why wouldn't you just move him to backup safety before you dump him? Definitely got the size in there.
Yeah, they're not going to dump him anyway. But again, as I responded and responded on the text line, we have talked about earlier, like if you are struggling to diagnose things and don't have a great feel for the game, then safety's not the place for you. I mean, say, you know, this defense, part of why this defense is so good, and I understand like they're really good safeties in the NFL, but Byard and Hooker, what they do in diagnosing things and in getting to some place a step or two earlier than a lot of safeties would, just because they know what's happening, is so critical and so valuable. And so if you're struggling at corner to figure things out, safety's not your – this isn't, like you just said, Robbie, this isn't because he's big but he's slow. And so, okay, like Rod Woodson later in his career, it's like, okay, he can't run quite as well. Put him at safety. He's great there. He's great wherever you put him.
Well, like Logan Ryan's playing safety right now because he can't run anymore. That's why.
Exactly. And Logan Ryan is an incredibly smart player who is, you know, I mean, he was great here. I thought in his last year, even though he couldn't run that well then, but he still made so many plays because of his understanding of the game. And again, right now, safety, I mean, you could do that, but that it's not a doesn't have the physical tools issue. It's a just isn't you know, isn't figuring things out issue. Safety's not the spot for you if that's your problem. Receiver? I'll listen to that.
Well, I don't know. Like, if you're Vrabel right now, you know, you're heading into the bye week. You've got a huge game coming up against the Colts, a divisional matchup. I mean, number one, hopefully you're healthier there, and maybe this bye week gives you a chance to get Dupree back. Who knows with Elijah Molden? I have no clue whether or not he'll be back at that point. But, like, if you're Vrabel and Shane Bowen and this defensive staff right now, like, how do you continue to put Caleb Farley on the field based on what we've seen? I mean, they basically didn't yesterday after he gets beat deep again for 75 yards. He had 9 snaps yesterday defensively. You know, they've had to play him. And, you know, if injuries continue to be a thing, which there's no reason to think they won't be with this Titans team moving forward, like, how do you continue to trot him out there at this point if you're the Titans? And what does that mean for his development? Like, how is he supposed to get better when you don't feel great about playing him and the practice reps just aren't going to be there as the season goes on? It's a tough spot he's in at the moment.
Yeah, if you're the Titans, at some point, you just have to move forward and hope he's taking those mental reps that Butch Jones loves so much. And I don't foresee him being on the field much in the next game unless it's just he's just pressed into action. I mean, you could have all the greatest days in the film room and the practice field that you want, but at some point, the game day performance is just too much to ignore. So it was a little bit surprising to see what we think was just a healthy scratch from Amadi and Farley, you know, in there or active at least, even with a knee. I don't think that's happening again if the Titans coaching staff can help it until further notice. And then, yeah, like you said, like how do you, within a season, even demonstrate you should be out there again? Like you can practice great all you want, you know? At some point, too many mistakes on game day get you.
Oh, and the biggest thing is, like, first off, you know, Dyami Brown yesterday, you know, he was kind of an underperforming guy that they had last year. But on the touchdown play against Farley, I mean, he just ran a go route. I mean, it's all he did. He ran straight down the field, and Caleb Farley either got confused or just didn't react quickly enough. I don't know what was going on with Caleb Farley, but it wasn't like it was some, you know, especially dynamic route that got run out there. It was just a straight up go route, and that to me is more concerning than anything else. Where it's just like it's not like there are these elaborate plays that are beating you. I mean, good Lord, he got torched by Jake Kumerow. I'm very familiar with Jake Kumerow. He shouldn't be torching anybody.
But at least that was like a move.
Yeah, yeah, this, like an out and like up.
It'll run by you right now. Let's see what you do. And again, I watch that play, and you're just guessing, and you can't guess. And you default to do not give up the big play. So it's you know, it's a tough spot. I don't know what the future holds for him. It's not impossible that he could, you know, figure it out. But it just, honestly, the whole position switch thing, which people have been talking about for weeks now, I don't know. And I think that's possible down the road for him. There's going to be more attempts by them when you draft someone in the first round to see if they can get him to figure it out. But it's not looking great right at this point.
By the way, congratulations to Jacob on our text line. Jacob was the first person to correctly guess Ryan Johansson as the first Nashville Predator to take a penalty this weekend on the season for the Preds. So, Jacob, we had several correct answers, but Jacob was the first one to get it. So, congratulations to Jacob. He'll be checking out the Preds and the Stars coming up later this week at Bridgestone Arena. Speaking of the Predators, back-to-back wins for the Predators. They start the season 2-0. With a sweep against the Sharks over in Prague. We'll be joined by Max Herz coming up next to talk all about it and look ahead to the week coming up for the Predators as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.